I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, the run into the most exciting season in the history of football is underway. The mighty Reds are in the hunt for four trophies and we have got that covered from all angles, whether it's pre-game.
There are big similarities between United and Liverpool because of the history and the success and the demand to be the best.
Post-game, when Liverpool got better in the second half, it came because we unleashed Andy Roberts.
A plus. Yes, excellent work in the XG goal timeline graph.
Documentaries.
So why not take a trip back in time with me now as we look at the story of the crew.
Features. And interviews.
Yeah, I played against him in I think it was just after lockdown. We played Blackburn and played Liverpool at Anfield.
There has never been a better time to join Redmen Plus and get yourself more Redmen content, more cultural features, closer access to the city of Liverpool, the club, and the vibes on the streets of Liverpool as we head towards an unprecedented end to the 2022 season. What a ride it has been. Come and join us over on RedmenPlus.com. It is a streaming service built specifically for Liverpool fans, and we want you over there, whether you like video content or podcast content. We have got you covered in your native podcasting app. There are two tiers available. Club Captain gets you access to all of the content, but if you want more, if you want to get closer to the Redmen TV team, then you can join as a club legend, get access to our Discord group, and don't forget there's also a whole bunch of extra perks, including free merchandise. Oh yes, and live show tickets as well. Redmen Plus, the best independent Liverpool media streaming service on the planet today. Get involved. Head to redmenplus.com. Hello, everyone. It's the final word, according to the telly. Brilliant. Yeah, we'll see. I wonder if I can change that and host the show at the same time. Right, I'm Paul Mitchell, Jay Pearson, and John Reid joining me for this one. What is this show? It's the build-up show, right? This great podcast content. I appreciate everyone. Thank you so much. No idea where that one lives.
It's okay. Listen, the thumbnail was there. The title's in the YouTube clip. We know what we're doing. They know what we're doing.
Put that down and hope that's sorted. Hey! Welcome to that build-up show. I'm Paul Mitchell, Jay Pearson, John Reid joining me for this one. Villarreal, second leg, semi-final, away as well. How are we feeling about this, Jay?
So excited, Paul. Yes. Love a semi-final. Love a semi.
Does love getting a semi on any given opportunity, particularly when it's accepted around this time of the
Correct.
Year. John, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? I say the excitement thing. I mean, I'm a few hours away from getting on a plane and going, so that's exciting in and of itself. But there is that, I don't know, we're in that weird stage of the season, aren't we, where I want us to be able to say we played in every game of football that we can do this season. And then I want to be able to say we've won every game between now and then. But we've got to get to that first stage. That's what's kind of at stake here, first and foremost, is that small thing. And it'll count for nothing. But it's, I always talk about like records being signposts on the way to success. Being able to say we've played in every given game of football. The only way if you're going to win a quadruple is to have that happen.
Yeah, you know, You've got to get to them first, haven't you? And then worry about winning them. You know, just being there is the important thing. And you know, this it's a slightly precarious game, isn't it? I mean, I think we're all sort of obviously going into it sort of thinking we've got sort of one foot in Paris, but no one really wants to say it because it's the 2-0 lead and we're playing away.
Yeah.
And, you know, the away goals thing and all that has gone, so it potentially could go one of either way depending on if they score early. But I'm just really looking forward to the relief. Like, I'm obviously, you know, assuming it's going to go well, but just that relief. There's always such a thing when you realise you're in the Champions League final, I think. Like, it's such a, obviously for the player more so, but like, even as a fan, you just so like, fucking hell, like, we get to play in like the big, everyone's going to watch that game and be like.
Well, it's funny because there's games where, look at the Inter Milan game, and you know, it's a bit of a smash and grab away from home, albeit, you know, that one where they didn't get a shot on target, but they played pretty well in that game. And then obviously we lose a game of footy at Anfield. So it's a bit like, we kind of limp out. It's a semi-final. It genuinely does not matter in the slightest.
No.
Yeah, this with Roma. Like, we lose, but we don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all. Everything is, I just want to be there tomorrow night with those Liverpool players in front of me, all the staff and all out there, all giving it the biff, just because we know there it is. It's done. It's dusted. It's booked. We can get ourselves to Paris.
Correct. And we have experience with it, Paul. Not just, it's our first semi-final in 15 years. It's, our third in 5 years, something like that. And it's amazing. And I think the lads are all, you know, albeit two players, I think, that aren't European Cup winners. Mm-hmm. We've got the experience. We'll get over the line. I'm very confident of that. But that, I'm not taking Villarreal lightly because of what happened against Roma. Blatantly because we were a good, 5-2 in the first leg? And we thought, and it ended up 7-6 on aggregate. You cannot take any team at this stage lightly. Villarreal are there for a reason. Emery's done a fantastic job at that club. We can't take him lightly, but it's just hugely exciting. And these are the moments that you live for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, Villarreal, Klopp's been at length to stress. And actually, you know, Emery was as well in the post-match, John, that it's going to be a different game. Mm. Different Villarreal. They didn't have anything to lose last time out, but they've got the fans behind them. It's do or die. And we saw it the weekend, actually. Look, like, let's use Everton, Chelsea as an example of that. When your fans give absolutely everything, everyone in there is all pulling towards a cause, then things can actually go in your favour. Now, you know, different circumstances, completely different sort of end of the spectrum as far as football goes, Everton, Chelsea, and to us, Villarreal. But that's the thing that we need to be wary of. I think on paper, and I said this last week, if we play Villarreal in like the round of 16, I don't think we almost take this as seriously, but you're left with no choice. You don't want to be the ones who got that far and fucked it because you took your eyes off the prize.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, we've got to go all the way now and make it play. Like, I think, like, you know, the media are dying for this narrative of Liverpool and City to be the two biggest clubs in the world football, if you like, to be true. And, you know, Liverpool have got to play the part, and that definitely. And, you know, I mean, as you say, Everton have seen the value of cop-out behaviour at the weekend and what happened. But, you know, we're sort of famous for showing up and doing that. And, like, you know, it was always going to be a different game at their ground, because it always is when you play a team in their home stadium. And particularly when you're talking European competition, and, you know, you get to go, obviously, travel abroad and stuff. But, you know, they're, you know, even though they're a small town in sort of Spain and stuff, you know, they've had a brilliant few years, Villarreal. I mean, obviously, the Europa League win and stuff last year. But, you know, they've been, like, slowly, progressively building, haven't they? Remember, we played them, was it the quarters or the semis in the Europa League? So, like, you know, it's been building for a while, this. And, you know, they clearly, I mean, it was great having them in the city, like, last week. And they clearly loved the team. They were really, really good. So I'm not going there, you know, expecting it to be a sort of walk in the park. I don't think anybody is, you know. And, all right, they've got, you know, maybe some injury concerns and stuff that might lessen the team you can put out. But I think they were always going to put out, a strong performance, you know. Whether that was
I think with Villarreal as well, we, you know, going back to that semi-final Europa League, we lost the first leg and then just trounced them Anfield. It's a different kettle of fish now, isn't it? You know what I mean? We are going into a hostile atmosphere. Like I said, credit to their fans last week; they were brilliant, and I do like playing Villarreal because of that sort of. They've built up a nice friendship with us, you know, with like Ilva tributes and stuff like that, and you know it's not going to be a disgusting atmosphere. You know, you're going to go over there and you know you're going to have a boss time.
No, and what I'm hoping for is that you get a bit of, like, a bit of a wrestlingism of when it's like, it's two it's two faces going head to head.
You know what I mean?
There's no bad guy here. Liverpool would be, because Liverpool are the it'd be a giant killing if Villarreal were to do it, of course. But like, you're right, in terms of the way the Villarreal fans conducted themselves over here last week, absolutely impeccably. I trust and hope that we do the same while we're over there as well. I trust and hope that the police will actually allow that to be the case as well, which is not always the case when we go and play Spanish opposition. But you want it to be two teams going at it, tooth and nail, fan base is given pouring their lungs out onto the pitch, and then whoever comes out on top, shake hands, raise the other one's hand in the air in victory. And you know, if you've lost, you go off and get on with what you got to do. If you've won, give a round of applause. Thank you so much for your great spectacle of football. But you know, in all of this, is what Liverpool have got here. They've got loads more to lose, and what we want to hopefully get isn't that attitude of what we saw last week, John, with their fans. It's like they're having a great jollies, they're having a great time coming out. Isn't it brilliant being in a Champions League semi-final? We kind of alluded to it. This is not fun for Liverpool. It should be. You know, we should treat it as it's a light-hearted, you know, pastime by all accounts, apparently.
Welcome to the build-up show for the FA Cup third round.
But it's
I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, but this is the point, is that we need to be in the final. Liverpool need to be in the final. Villarreal don't need to be in the final. It's a great achievement for them to get this far, and we need to make sure that we put them in that sort of bracket.
Yeah, we were very professional against them in the first leg, weren't we? You know, I mean, it wasn't, as you say, a spellbinding performance necessarily, but we were really professional. And I think, touching back on what you said about Emery in his post-match, he did say, like, these are a different kettle of fish. Yeah. You know, we've played Juventus, we've played Bayern, Liverpool are a different level again. So, you know, we need to be there. And you know, I think the team need it more than anything. Like, you know, we're all, I think, again, sort of buying into this, aren't we? That, you know, not necessarily that it's a quadruple, but that, you know, we're going into every game, winning it, there's seven games left, let's do it. And you're seeing it, like, you know, we were just doing the final word for Newcastle and talking about Robbo putting tackles in, you know, in the 93rd minute and stuff, and how he was. It's not just, you know, the fans, it's the team are clearly buying into it. And that's what I was getting at. But like, when you get to the final whistle in the semi, like that relief, it's like, right, now we're going to be in the biggest game in football. And, you know, just getting to that, it should be the goal for now.
Okay. This has been Liverpool's mission this season. It was meant to be last season's mission as well, but obviously it was undercut for the reasons that we all know and we're sick of talking about at this point. But Liverpool are at the top of the mountain now. It's a different whale to the climb. The climb's a different vibe, it's a different feeling, you know what I mean? You feel like you're on the ragged edge at all times because it can all come crashing down, and you're living on hopes and dreams where there's more expectation here. But you, to be that team at the top of the pile and stay there, you've got to live under expectation. You know, you've got to live under, like, well, no, now all of a sudden your average season is a season beyond the dreams of Liverpool fans for, you know, most of the Premier League era. And that's what they're kind of going to have to live with. And you trust that now, because you mentioned before about the players who've been there and done it. It's a squad of winners. Yeah. It's a squad of born winners, and a squad of winners who it goes back to the Robbo point, a great example of that. Liverpool players, I trust that they will be, this will be a throw your body on the line kind of game, because semi-final knockout at this point is failure for Liverpool. It shouldn't be, but it is, because that's we wanted the plum draw. We got the plum draw.
Yeah.
Well, you've actually just got to get to the final now. Otherwise, you'd have failed.
Correct. And I think this competition as well, Paul, it's in our hands. Mm-hmm. You know, the league isn't, unfortunately.
Yes.
We are seven games away from incredible success. One that, like, no one's ever seen before. But in order for that to happen, we need to rely on a different entity. We can't at the minute. But with the Champions League, the only entity we rely on is ourselves.
Yes.
And that's why it's not that this trophy means more. It's just, you want one of the big two every year at least, don't you? That's a successful season for Liverpool. Yeah, well, go and get it.
Yeah. And it does mean more.
Can I just say as well, I think whether they've said it or not, I think sort of the team as well, this sort of thing with City, that, like, I think a lot of it is coming from the fact that, like, oh, you know, Guardiola and City, and there's been so much, you know, understandably and correctly, so much plaudits put on that City team. And I think a lot of what we've done this season has just been like, well, we've stuck the League Cup off them. You know what I mean? We're now in the FA Cup final. So, like, everyone's sort of talking up this idea of, you know, like, of City, or, you know, they're the best team ever. But by the way, we've just took two of their trophies. Well, one off, we're in the final for the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they can't win that again, is more to the point. Yeah, no, it isn't. And that, again, fine margins, isn't it? It was a good comment, actually. I forget who did it. It was in our Facebook group this week talking about how like Avram Grant coming close to winning the treble with Chelsea and then falling short. It was really, really good. A really good comment, and it definitely deserves me to remember who it was who posted it. So I deeply apologise for that. Yeah, thanks, Jay. But that's where we are right on the forefront here. We're riding the crest of the wave here, and there's a very fine margin between, you know, being absolute legends.
David Newman.
Thank you so much, David Newman. And wiping out. And, okay, we're not going to wipe out completely because we've already, to mix my metaphors, you know what I mean? We've already gotten to that safe haven. We've already banked X amount of dough here. We've already got the League Cup safely squirreled away. But this is where we're at, and it is. And I get it, you know, it's uncomfortable, it's a bit nervy and all that kind of stuff. And again, I'm not sure I'm totally enjoying it in the way that I'm made up for the people who are absolutely enjoying it. But there's so much because of that, you know what I mean? Because that expectation, it's a newer feeling for me. I don't really know how to handle that, being the best and having to reprove that you're the best. And if you're not quite as good, then you've somehow fallen flat. I kind of miss the climb. I miss the, if we were to fall short, but what a great sort of swing that we've taken. Whereas, it is a bit, it's a different kind of nerves. Hopefully it just spars me to, again, scream my face out on Tuesday night, which it will do. And again, you can still have my throat still goosed from the semi-finals. Not, I'm going to have to get to the end of the season and lock myself in a dark room with no one else to talk to kind of recover come the end. Hopefully, John, the Newcastle game serves as a decent prep. And I don't think most people would maybe draw that comparison, but it's a big atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And as much as they're not as good a team as Villarreal, they gave a good old flurry at us. They did fly at us in those early stages. And so it's not a like-for-like comparison by any stretch. But I'm glad it was a competitive game of football. And again, it's a noisy one. It's just something, you know, Liverpool having to fight to go into this game. We didn't have it all of our way. Even though we did dominate the game, there's elements in that which I hope have kind of led us into a decent shape for this one.
Yeah, you'd hope so, as you say. I mean, the atmosphere for an early kickoff was great and, you know, very vociferous. And, you know, quietly, Newcastle are all big lads. I think, you know, obviously they've got Dan Byrne, but you've...
The biggest of lads.
The biggest of lads, who jotted out, jumped for one of his headers, which was looking great. So, I love that. But, you know, they're the type of team you want to play, really. I think, like, you almost don't want to play a Chelsea or a City sort of the week before this year, as much because it's the media focus, but because you're going to have to play football, whereas that was very much a slog. And I'd almost want that. You sort of want to fight, don't you? You want to, you know, you want your Milners and those types of people in the team to go in for that. So it was a good prep, and I think, you know, they're also a pretty good level, Newcastle. You know, I think they were sort of talking them up, obviously, in the pre-match on Sky, in terms of, like, you know, saying, you know, they're probably, you know, the best of the rest almost at the minute, maybe with Wolves or whatever. But, you know, Villarreal are about that level, aren't they, in Spain, in terms of, like, where they are in their league, in terms of what they do and stuff. So, and the type of player they've got, the level the player they've got. Like, Dan Juma was at Bournemouth, wasn't he? So, it's a good match, I think. And, you know, it's weird how we've sort of, they've almost gone back to back, like I say, you know, sort of Villarreal, Everton, Villarreal, Newcastle. But you'd hope, like I say, we can take maybe some learnings from that in terms of setup.
100%. Just in terms of Villarreal then, as we kind of hinted at earlier, they lost 2-1 to Alaves on Saturday. They lined up with Asensio, Alfonso, Pau Torres, Mandy, Aurier was at right back, Parejo and Ibora anchored the midfield, Gomez, Trigueros, Chukwueze, and Dia up front. So they made changes coming off the bench. Capoue, Foyth, Alcacer, Estup, Pinyan,
get well it, done.
and Giovanni Lascelles. So obviously they've prepared for it, John, but not necessarily in the super ideal way. They've made changes. They're going to throw everything at this, but also for the vibes, it probably would have been nice if they'd managed to pick a positive result up, because they're in danger of capsizing their fight for European places again here. Seventh, Sociedad are kind of getting away from them a bit as well.
They did, but they made changes before the first leg of the semi as well, and sort of, I don't want to say through that game, but sort of, you know, they lost, and obviously off the back of the changes. But, you know, that's sort of what I think Emery sort of made his trade on, hasn't he? He's made, you know, sort of his reputation on being a cup manager and sort of playoff football, not necessarily on, like, league performances. And they seem happy, you know. Like, I mean, I don't want to obviously speak for Villarreal fans and how they feel about it, but, you know, to have sort of their first success and just to still be there. I mean, we know ourselves, obviously, from, you know, the sort of 5 years, whatever it was, we were in the wilderness sort of post Hicks and Gillette, that, like, that sort of churn of, you know, league game, Europa League, it really takes it earlier. So to be where they are, I think still sort of within, you know, within contention this late in the season is a really good thing for me.
And it goes back to my earlier point, Jay. It's a bit like Tottenham in the final of sometimes you're just made up to be there. And that's what we're getting. That's what we've got to play. We've got to control this fixture as best we can. They're going to come out, they're going to come windmilling at us. There's no way it's going to be a park the bus kind of performance here, because they've got to come out and they've got to score goals. And if this is going to be, this is a canny Liverpool thing. And, you know, like I mentioned the Inter Milan game, a bit like that, it'd be sound, you know, where, you know, let them build, they're going to build momentum, they're going to have everything on their side. It's how we react to that. And if we can get a counter punch on them, you probably get, you do more damage with one goal if it's timed right than you would do if we come out and like try and blitz the game to some extent.
Yeah, true. And I think what Liverpool have been doing really well at away games now is just sort of swallowing that pressure where you're in a hostile environment. I'll take an example at the Etihad where that first 5 or 10 minutes, I didn't think that we were the away side, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In terms of like there was a hostile atmosphere for a little bit, but we sort of swallowed it up by playing a few passes. And we said on the final word, didn't we, that we did that against Newcastle as well, because, you know, like John said, you might as well have played 25 passes, but a lot of them could have been on the back four, but we've calmed it down a bit. I think that will happen again. I think, you know, Villarreal have got a great support. That will impact us a little bit at the beginning, but I just think we're Liverpool and we're playing away. I think we'll just swallow it up.
Well, we'll talk about Liverpool team selection, how we play into that after we take the break. But we've got a couple of things. Before we do, we've had a Club Legend competition running this month for everyone who joins us over on Red Men Plus as Club Legends. The prize, we had a prize bundle. It was a signed Stuart Downing photo. It was a signed copy of our Jordan Henderson 10 Years of Red book. There was some wonderful beer mats. And there was something else, I think, but I cannot remember what that is off the top of my head. Either way, Boss prize. The Stuart Downing print, people go, Stuart Downing, like, it's a signed photo of Stuart Downing. I think it's the Man of the Match award one as well, because he won the Man of the Match in the League Cup final back in 2012, and top guy as well. We've got that. We've got a new competition coming up in a moment, but we need to draw the winner of our little prize bundle. So we've got the Wheel of Names right here, right now. We're going to click it to spin, and can we have a little drum roll, guys? Forget how long it goes. Hey! LFC Robster is the victor. Congratulations to LFC Robster. Absolutely brilliant. Well done. I'm sure Ross will be in touch to sort that prize out. If not, just drop him an email and he'll get them over to you as quickly as is humanly possible. We've got a trivia question before we take our short break. Name the five players to play for both Liverpool and for Villarreal. Yes, a brand new Club Legend competition prize is coming for you this month. It is an absolute belter. Take a look and listen to this. Hey everyone, we have got an incredible, incredible prize to give away this month. It is the Liverpool 08-09 home shirt. Vintage, by the way, not one of those DHgate fakes. Signed by Liverpool legends Jamie Carragher and Dirk Kuyt. Yes, yes, we are giving it away. We are giving it away. All you've got to do to enter into that competition is to join Red Men Plus as a Club Legend tier subscriber. Yes, if you're an existing club captain, upgrade to Club Legend. Or if you're just coming at it fresh, become a Club Legend. Get your name in the draw and also gain access to a wealth of Liverpool content each and every week. Pre-game, post-game, analysis, interviews, features, documentaries of a level that Netflix and Amazon would be proud of. We have got you covered from all angles. Liverpool face an historic end to the season, and not only will you be able to follow that and get closer to the culture of Liverpool Football Club, but you can also have an incredible, wonderful, amazing, unique product to hang on your wall and look back, sit back and marvel at. No one else has got this in the world apart from us, and we're going to give it to one of our Club Legend subscribers because they are awesome. Be awesome, join up, and hopefully you can be the one to win.
Hey guys, Steve here. Hope you're enjoying this podcast. If you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your lives, head on over to theredmentv.com and sign up to Red Men Plus. Each and every one of our shows is not only available in video format, but in podcast as well, so you can get them on the go. Do go on over to the website, do join Red Men Plus, and yeah, carry on enjoying this show too.
Right, so we had some super chats actually before we get the answer for our trivia question. Karthik with 400 squiggles. That's incredible. I need to learn what that is. Is it rupees? Have I got that? I do this wrong. I need to learn more symbols for money. Yeah. And you'd think super chats would have taught me over the years, but they haven't, because I find calling them squiggles funnier than learning what the actual answer is. He says, I am looking forward to the City Madrid game more than the Villarreal game. Would much rather play Madrid in the Champions League final. Also hope another failed Champions League campaign will somehow knock City off rhythm in the Premier League. Yeah. I mean, probably what it does is it spares them on, but fine for that. It's,
or at least take a lot out of him in that game.
Yeah,
take a lot out of the legs.
We'll talk about City Rail a little bit later on in the show. I think it definitely warrants a little bit of attention. And Sam Allardyce, wow, good old big Sam in the comments here. Says happy Eid Mubarak to all Muslim Red Men. Yes, absolutely. Happy religious festival to people. I'm not really up on any of them. I've discovered a lot. My son's going for senior schools. And apparently, there's lots of differences between the religions that get you into schools in senior school, which I'd never really considered before. So, yeah, wish I'd paid more attention in Ardy in school. But, yeah, whatever makes people happy, be happy, is what I'll say. Yes, wonderful stuff. Okay, let's have the answer to the trivia question then. Name the Villarreal Liverpool players who've played for both. You want to throw some names in the hat?
Alberto Moreno. I'm out.
Alberto Moreno. Yeah.
Jose Reina.
Pepe Reina,
mm-hmm.
Correct.
Reason why I said Jose there is because I'm going with another one, Jose Enrique.
Jose Enrique, yeah, I didn't know that one.
And then I'm certain Hossamy played for him.
You are correct to be certain that Hossamy played for them.
And then this one is a guess, but again, I can just picture him in the kit. Kronkamp.
Jan Kronkamp. Was he involved in the Hossamy? Was that a swap deal with Hossamy and Kronkamp?
Yes, that's where it was like throw me in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. Yeah, Jose Enrique, Jan Kronkamp, Alberto Moreno, Pepe Reina, and Hossamy. Oh, Hossamy. Apparently Hossamy Ray. Did not know that. Hossamy. I always thought his name was Hossamy. Hossamy. Yeah. Yeah. I thought like Mario.
Stadium.
Mario.
There
you go. Right, sound brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Everyone who got that, you're an absolute genius. Give yourselves a huge pat on the back. You are wonderful, wonderful people.
I didn't know where.
Two, we got it, mate. Yeah. Smashed it.
That's exactly teamwork. Well done. There's no way we don't go strong here, John. I just looking actually in terms of the game last time we played, the lineup was Alisson, Robertson, Van Dijk, Matt. And that's the Newcastle lineup, apologies. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, well, let's do it anyway. Matt of Gomez, Milner, Henderson, Keita, Mane, Jota, Diaz was what started in that game. And then I will find the Liverpool, Real Madrid, Villarreal game from last time, and I will put up the lineup, and that lineup was Alisson, Trent, Canate, Van Dijk, Robertson, Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, Salah, Mane, Diaz. It's more likely to be that than the team from the weekend.
Yeah, my only query would be over Diaz. I mean, he's a bundle of energy, but that'd be his third game in a week, wouldn't it? So whether he'd start. Also because whether you'd want him sort of running at tired legs. Not that we necessarily we'd need him as a break glass, but whether you just want that.
You're right.
So whether we might have Jota start sort of up front. But definitely, you know, even though it's going to be a different game, they do play 4-4-2, don't they? So we're going to see, I think, Thiago on the ball. You're going to have Fabinho there, sort of trying to replicate what he did last week, breaking on play. So don't see how any differences really, apart from maybe that in the front three.
Yeah. My thing was with the Konate Matip situation. But again, I can see the Konate going back in. Just blatantly because of how he's done so well in Champions League this season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised one way or the other, to be honest.
It's never an issue, is it?
It depends. It honestly depends on what it is. And I just think that professionalism's the order of service here. And there's a little part of me, like, let's use Jota as an example. I think we need to play him into form at the moment. Yeah. You know, it's not quite working for him. And Diaz is now, looks like he should be playing absolutely every game for us. And that Diaz, Mane, Salah front three just looks like it. Yeah. It looks like the total package. But again, there might be a value to playing Jota, but is he going to be playing players into form in the second leg of a Champions League semi-final? I'm not sure. I agree that maybe there's definitely a break glass option here, but it's who is that? Who are his most trusted lads to go out and put on the field? I think the midfield picks itself. Mm. It might influence the Matip Konate thing, but it might, again, what's at stake here, Jay, is a vote of confidence to someone.
Yeah.
You know, if he thinks he could just do with a bit of a jump start here, rather than a kick up the arse, like just a shot of adrenaline, a shot of confidence to say, no, don't worry about everything that's gone before. So Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is what I'm suggesting. Probably not. No, the Jota thing, I think that's what he's playing for. I don't think Jota has earned a place in this starting 11.
Yeah.
I think Diaz has, but it's whether he wants to play, yeah, play exactly. The long game here.
And he's putting fuel in the legs as well. We alluded to it on the final word, didn't we, about you want to play people in these games where you give them the minutes, so if you do need a break glass option in a final or anything like that, they can come on because they've got the minutes in the legs, similar to what Joe Gomez has been doing recently. So again, strikers, they always say the one thing that they need is confidence. You're going to give him that by starting him in a Champions League semi-final, which is a couple of years ago might have been beyond his wildest dreams.
The problem we've got is Mane's been so good up front, and I say it's a problem we've got. It's the exact opposite, John. Yeah. We've got this wonderful situation that's developed where Sadio Mane is back into the form of his life, playing in the front position, and Jota all of a sudden looks just a little bit like he's now in the fourth choice, and that's not to mention Bobby Firmino we'll touch on, but that's the kind of difficult thing, is that if you put Jota in, you put him on the left, and that's not a problem per se because he's a really good footballer, but there might be. It's hard to look past Diaz's pace, and you'd always just want that option of you can just smack it into the corners and run stuff down if needs be. And Jota's quick, but he's not that. Yeah, he just feels a little awkward for either of those positions at the moment.
He does, and you know, a lot of the attributes that he brings to the game aren't necessarily things that you'd want, I think, against the team that we're playing. But equally, you know, as we've sort of already touched on, he's really good from set plays and stuff. So
he's predatory as well, which as a man he kind of displayed at the weekend that he's not. He can score loads of goals because he'll get in the right positions and do the right things. But there's two chances that he gets in that game where, I mean, and look. And by the way, I'll caveat this. I'm well aware that Jota had a one-on-one that he just blammed straight down the throat of the goalkeeper. But there's a couple of really big Mane chances that feel very like the kind of chances that I think Jota might have put away in that circumstance.
They do. And, you know, he's the player, not just in looks, but in terms of style, that reminds me most of Fowler. In that sense, like, you know, growing up watching him and just play between sort of the goalposts and stuff. But my only thing would be is, like, whether the manager just sort of, you know, sticks with it. Because I just think, sort of like, you know, seven games left or whatever it is now for the whole of the season, not just the league, but like you just keep picking the same lads or the same couple of lads and rotating them based on, you know, tiredness rather than anything else. But also just sort of the game, you know, I think, like I say, I really like Jota and what he offers, but you sort of feel as if, like, you know, he does contribute maybe to sort of build up play and sort of like around the area, but he doesn't really necessarily go into midfield much, whereas Mane, you know, you've very much got a front three and a midfield three who are all sort of going after the ball if you play Mane through the middle, don't you? Whereas with Jota, it feels a bit more like he'd just sort of stay in the area. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, don't get me wrong, you know, he's not, say, Christian Benteke or Ronaldo at United. You know, he doesn't just stand in the box, does he? But
in that regard, I actually think he is better on the left because I think he links up more. But I think, again, you just can't overlook you put him between the sticks and he just finds ways to stick the ball on the back of the net. And it's mad, isn't it, how here we are, how, you know, we were having a debate in December, I think it was even on the debate show on Plus, where we were like, who starts in your front three? If there's a Champions League final against Man City tomorrow, who's in your front three? Is it Firmino or Jota? And we were edging towards Jota at that point. And now we're in a situation where it might be
Sadio.
Well, it might be neither. You know what I mean? Like, neither of those lads could effectively start a massive game of football. But in some regards, I wonder whether Jürgen Klopp is being saved from the hard decisions by the sports science people here to some extent.
Yeah.
And you know, them going, actually, he needs to play 60. He can only play 70. He can do in this. I wonder whether that actually, the ultimate decision might not be a stylistic one. It might just be, we're juggling here. So here's who's due to play this one, because here's what the percentages sort of tell us.
Yeah, it's true. And Chris has got a superb tweet from Sports Sciences that breaks that down. And it's absolutely...
Oh, Cyberrun, this is the brilliant work on this.
Brilliant viewing. And it's just... I think it's a testament to how we've developed this squad over the last couple of years. And now by having this squad, we can do these things where, like we said before, it's not a headache. It's nice where we can go, okay, he's playing and I'm fine with it. That's why we said before, didn't we, John? We just, when people get so het up about who's going to start a game, just relax and trust the process.
Yeah, no, working. Exactly. And look, we saw that the weekend, didn't we? You know, all the lads who people were cry arsing about were the best lads on the field in the end. Because, well, what a shock. Because Jürgen Klopp has constructed this side over the last 6.5 years. You know, he's weeded out all the mentally weak people or the ones susceptible and all that kind of stuff. And we've got the best fitness and nutrition people on the planet, and psychologists all working with these guys. And now we've got a bunch of lads, and we're also in a situation, John, where every game of football matters. There's no, like, all right, lads, you're in the B team here. You're just keeping the tire ticking off so all the good lads can have a week off. You're now bringing in lads soon. It's like, well, no, the Newcastle away is just as big a game as Villarreal away, because we need to win every game of footy. So when you bring in Gomez and you bring in Milner, two lads who are absolutely dying and fighting for the cause because it matters. And Jay's to the point. It kind of doesn't matter who we pick in this one. There'll be people who will find the person they want least, the weakest player in their eyes. But that weakest player is probably miles better than some of the best players we've ever had by comparison. And they all know what they're doing, and they're all going to fight and die for the cause.
Yeah, and it's a long game as well, isn't it? You know, like, you're sort of talking through Jota there, and I'm sort of thinking, like, well, you know, we've got Villa to come, Wolves. I sort of imagine that those are games, not just in terms of, like, obviously playing a formal club, but games where he actually probably will be a better fit. So, you know, we're not just managing, you know, sort of this game, are we? We're managing, what is it? It's two games a week now, it's the end of the season, isn't it? So you're managing the whole thing, really. And I think, you know, they're all going to show up in one way or another and contribute in one way or another. And the manager's sort of built the culture of the club in, you know, certainly the last 2 or 3 years, but even going back to when he started, around this idea that, like, you know, everybody contributes and everybody's important. And again, we sort of touched on it in the final where we're Newcastle, that, like, a lot of these lads have sort of drifted in and out of the team sort of through the season, but in positive ways, you know, in that, like, they've sort of come in and had their spell. And like we were saying, you know, sort of like no one's really talking about the fact that Salah hasn't really popped up with a goal for a while, but because Mane suddenly come massively into form, and, you know, all of a sudden Diaz is doing all this stuff on it. So it sort of the focus moves around the team. The word always is just professional, isn't it? You know, you sort of said it with Konate at the back. We've just got to go and be professional. And I just think, you know, I'm at the stage now where I don't really worry about Liverpool anymore, which is weird given, you know, obviously... certainly in my supporting life, like how it's felt, you know, this late in the season a lot of times. But like, you sort of trust the lads on the pitch, and the manager says that as well, that, you know, yeah, I want them to know how to solve situations on the pitch themselves without me necessarily directing them.
Hopefully there's a slight thing. Normally we sat here because it's two games a week, and we normally look quite heavily into what the next game is, because this is such a big one. But this is a massive week in terms of our ambitions here. You know, Villarreal, and then you've got Tottenham at the late kickoff on the Saturday, which is weird. Quarter eight kickoff. Good on you, Premier League scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
But
so one next June to the other, of having little time this week between Newcastle and this game, and all of a sudden it's even more now.
And
but
we're now in a situation, though, where we need to be able to put two very strong teams out. And realistically, once you go beyond that, the following week is Villa, followed by the FA Cup final. So there, you know, we've kind of got around the edges off this. I don't think there's going to be massive chunks of players coming out. But the good thing is, again, we said this all the time in the Champions League, 5 subs helps us with no matter what we're trying to do. So there'll be 3 probably pre-programmed subs, which are all to do with the sports science. And then there'll be 2, which will be situational, which will, if you need to go and chase the game or you need to go and shut the game down, we'll have options to allow us to do whatever it is we're looking to do. I asked a question in the Club Legend Discord chat, whether they go Jota or Diaz. Josh Hall answered Jota. He needs a goal just to grab his confidence back, I think. Yeah, that's an interesting point. That header at the weekend was a good one. It kind of showed he's doing all the right things, but I feel like Mane's kind of made his peace with the Diaz stuff, because him being shuffled central has helped him. And Salah, I think he's still fighting a little bit against himself. But Jota kind of, I don't know, like, is he... where's he? I think the lack of where does he exactly fit in was he's done all that hard work and then Diaz has come in and now we've got a new like, oh, we love him and everyone seems to love him all of a sudden. And Jota could just do with that, just getting in and just, I mean, look, he's got the second best song of the season.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get his name sung relentlessly. You know, the Jota song is top, he's gone above Virgil and Salah and Mane and all that kind of stuff. And Bobby, in terms of what it's going to be all over the place. Just for him, I hope he does get the goal that he needs, or, you know, what I mean, ultimately, whatever, save it for the weekend if you want, as long as we get across the line in all of those sorts of regards. Right, we're going to take another very, very short break, and then we're going to pick our 11s, and we're going to look at the City-Real Madrid game as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, okay. John, what's your 11 going to be for this one?
Alisson, I'd go with Konate in the back four, okay. Standard back four, Robertson, Trent, Virgil. Same midfield as last week, Fabinho, Thiago. And I think I'd be tempted to say I'd probably stick with Diaz in the front three, I think. Only because we've got that long sort of break before we play Spurs at the weekend. And I just think because he's like, so two-footed, it just gives you, you know, it doesn't really matter if he's not necessarily full of energy. Yeah. You can sort of go either way anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And because I was umming and ahhing about starting Diaz because obviously he played a lot of football, mm-hmm. but given the continental flair we're playing away, could be a really good asset.
Yeah, I'll go the other way just for the sake of argument more than anything else. Like, yeah. I'll go Jota because I think he does need it. And as much as I like that notion of the pacey legs, you know, like tiring toward the end of the game, and you can bring Diaz on and maybe just kind of finish it off.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, and maybe Diaz and Keita are the ones that you come on to just have that extra like 15% at the end, just a little bit more dynamism or whatever, and just hopefully get the game put to bed. I mean, look, let's be honest, if it's actually a Gomez and Milner coming on to shore everything up, I'd be equally as happy with that, and Diaz can sit on the bench and get a nice rest. But for me at the minute, I think Diaz, Mane and Salah is our best front three, and with Tottenham at the weekend as well, I don't think you're really weakening it with Jota in, but there's an opportunity where you might just play Jota into form, and then you're going into Tottenham going, well, we've actually got four lads who are bang up for this, bang in form, and we've rotated enough that we can use any ones we want.
Are you playing Jota in the middle or on the left?
I will play Jota on the left for this one, because I don't know. I mean, look, there's fluidity. It doesn't really matter.
There's no wrong answer.
We saw at the weekend. You know, they kind of go where the game dictates, to be honest. But yeah, I wouldn't be against Mane playing from the left, but I have just really enjoyed him playing centre forward. Yeah. So the only sad one, which you didn't touch on earlier, was Bobby Firmino. It'd be brilliant to have him for this game because in European footy, where it's a little bit slower and you can just get him in there and get him up to speed, would have been great. Fingers crossed he's available for the bench, but it looks like he'll likely miss out. And the other one who could well miss out, having missed out with the virus at the weekend, is Divock Origi, which is another another shame. You know, it could be the last. Could be we could have seen the last of him, but
yeah.
It's Divock. So who?
Who knows?
Who knows? FA Cup final. Just get him ready for the FA Cup final. That's what you want, just in case. Just in case. Right. So the other game, because there is in fact another game to be played this week, and it is the Champions League other semi-final, and it is Man City Real Madrid, and obviously John City carrying that lead is good, but my thoughts going into that first leg was always Carlo Ancelotti would have been made up to come away with a 1-0 defeat because taking back to the Bernabeu, and you'll feel that that's very, very achievable. It was a wild game of football. It was one of the most entertaining games of football I've watched in a while, mercifully because Real Madrid didn't get absolutely pummeled as they were threatened to be. If you were writing this story from a Madrid perspective, you would be saying this is very much on in their favour.
Yeah, and they've got to feel that way. I mean, they just obviously won the league, haven't they, at the weekend. I don't know if you've seen the photo of Carlo with a cigar.
Oh, the cigar and his sunnies.
So absolutely brilliant.
Don Carlo, so absolutely.
Having the greatest time of his life. You know, they've got to go in that feeling confident, and you know, same, you know, where we were talking up sort of our lads and saying, you know, like sort of, you know, got sort of league winners, European Cup winners in our team. I mean, how many times have they been there and done it in terms of the lads who are in their starting 11? So weirdly, and a lot of other people have sort of said the same thing, I've always sort of felt as if like it will probably go Madrid's way. I mean, remains to see if that's the case, but they've just got the pedigree, haven't they? And as you say, like I worry with City that like, they sort of wilt in sort of big occasions. It's all right when they're playing, you know, sort of exhibition football at Wembley and sort of League Cup or FA Cup finals, but when they're sort of people are giving them grief, even though they are playing good football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My only concern on this, because let's flip the narrative to the City perspective. If you were building the story for City to get there and do it again, lost in the final last time out, the fact that they come through Atletico Madrid, I think, is a significant thing here, because Bernabeu's not going to be more hostile than the one the Metropolitano, because it can't be, because it's only half open for a start.
I was going to say half it's closed, half
but also it's just it will be noisy. It will be absolutely, and again they're another team we've got more to lose because they've got the reputation to uphold as well. But I'd be interested to see what their team does. And you see it, don't you? Like we've seen it with Liverpool, where you pick stuff up along the way, and actually coming through and battling through. And Atletico could actually be that missing string to the bow for them in Europe, whereas they could just go and be absolute pricks in this game.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't shock me it'd be weird. It'd be very anti-City, but if they've learned their lessons along the way, that we could see them do something like that.
100%. We were a testament to that when 2018. And come back in 2019. Yes. You learn your lessons, don't you? You know, and I could definitely see it going that way. I pray that it doesn't for obvious reasons. But again, at some point, it's got to let up. At some point, has to change. You know, the direction has to change for what happens to them. You know, and again, I don't want it to happen because I do believe that we'll get to that final. I don't want to play them in that final.
Do not want to play Man City.
That's like. I don't even think I could watch it, Paul.
The only thing that remains on that, and to put a bullish side to it, John, is that if Real Madrid can't stop them, then the only team capable of stopping them is us.
And that's a good positive thing. That's another thing you take from it, wouldn't you? You take that from the final, wouldn't you?
You would, and you know,
as unbearable as an experience as it would be, you know.
Yeah,
because.
But at some point they are going to win it, you know, and I suppose we've all sort of got to make our peace with that, but it just doesn't have to be this year, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah.
I think we want, you know, this sort of idea, as I say, of, I think a lot of it sort of, this season is Liverpool fighting back, isn't it, and saying, look, you know, there are just two teams here and you don't have to, you know, go and spend however many millions to do this and, you know, every year buy 50 million fullbacks. But equally, you know, I think the final will be interesting. You know, let's say flip it the other way and say City do get through. I don't think there'll be many City fans there, and not just because of how they feel about it, but we play early. I guarantee you, I already know people who've got like hotels and stuff booked for Paris, you know what I mean, already. So never underestimate how many fans potentially could be in there.
The thing that I saw from that game last week, and we very nearly didn't see it because, again, City just nearly buried them in the first 15 minutes of that football match, is City are the complete outfit. They are the real deal, and loath as I am to say it, and I wish it wasn't true, but they are. They're basically unplayable, like us, in a slightly different way. And I saw that. I saw a complete football team at the peak of its powers. But Real Madrid, they're just brilliant. They've got a bunch of really, really hyper-gifted footballers. And even the ones who aren't like the obvious ones, as in all the old guards, who are all still magic, by the way.
Yeah.
They've got pace where you need to have pace. They're all amazing at maintaining possession in small spaces. And the way that they fizz the ball into each other, they've just got that touch of like just well-rehearsed class, you know, just and obviously we don't quite know what their fitness situation is going to be like. Casemiro was a big miss for that game last time. The defense is in a little bit of a disarray and a bit of a shambles. But as long as they've got Modric, Cruz, and Benzema on the pitch, and if Vinicius can continue to play like he's been playing as well, they can definitely do damage. The revenge tour, I think, and the innate story writer in me just wants Real Madrid, because I think it puts a nice cap on this first era of Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool.
Yeah.
Where to beat Villa, to beat Unai Emery on the way, to go and get revenge against Real Madrid, and you can go, there you go. That's like the first chapter done and dusted. Yeah. The first book of Jurgen Klopp done there, and then we begin the new era following on from that. But yeah, Real Madrid has just got to do the business.
Could go either way for them as well, but I think a big one for City is Walker. If he comes back fifth, and because that pace in terms of direct running,
no, it's true. And again, we talk about Real Madrid not being the same as what they were in 2018. So, but you've just hit the nail on the head. If they get to the final, we've got to worry about what you've just said there. Mm-hmm. You know, they can easily get past City at the Bernabeu, no problem at all.
Oh, well, this is not a gimme by any stretch. But this is the thing, we always say this about how when we were talking about it in like 2013-14, when we had all of our hard fixtures early doors, and like the return fixtures were all like Anfield ones in the second half. I was like, great, that's brilliant. You've got to go and win them.
Correct.
And it's all well and good saying we got a good draw. We had the group of death and we got out of that with flying colours. We have had a pretty reasonably favourable draw since then. But to the point, it's not a walkover. You've got to turn up, you've got to do it. Everyone's capable. And I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves, by the way. I'm very aware that we're talking about a final that we're not in yet. But again, to the point, that it kind of feeds into my point is You've got to beat what's in front of you. You've got to win the games, and there are no gimmies in the Champions League at this stage. But I think if you asked all of us, and if you took a straw poll, I think of everyone watching and listening, we'd all prefer Real Madrid in a final to Man City, because I just don't think my heart could take.
No,
I mean it'll have to one way or the other, but
it will. I just think that is just the worst outcome, because you don't want to lose to a English team in the final and it be their first trophy at the end of the
day.
That
was the thing that got me with Tottenham. It was great and all that great show of red power and, you know, in Salvador Dali and Boss Night and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, but oh my God, it's Tottenham. What if you lose to Tottenham? What will happen?
Exactly.
Mercifully, we were one up before I'd even had time to catch me breath.
We also owe Carlo for 07 as well. So
yes, there you go. There's another great point on the revenge tour. We'll dust that one off and slap that on the back.
Is that
of the
balanced
t-shirt.
Out though? Already?
Benitez will be on commentary.
Definitely. Right, Liverpool, Villarreal. Let's have some score predictions, John. What do you think?
I think we go there. I think they get a goal, but we win 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
I'll take 2-1. Yeah,
take it right now. It's going to be hard.
I don't mind it being a Roma vibes where it's a consolation goal. It gives them a little bit, you know, like have a little chase toward the end. But I would quite like to enjoy this. But I'm also very aware that this is where we're at now.
Yeah,
this is the running. You can't, beggars can't be choosers, and we're not beggars, by the way. But you know, we just can't. You can't have everything.
No,
we're in this stage of the season. It's probably going to be gnarly and horrible. So we'll just take whatever is handed.
We will. Handed our way. A tough game against them. They're a good side.
Yes.
But we'll see.
It's going to be 3-1 to them, isn't it? And it's going to be absolutely sickening. And then it's going to be a massive stress and all that. That'll be fine. Right, leave us your score predictions. Leave us your 11 predictions in the live show comments. If you're here, leave it in the comments after the fact. If you're here after the fact. And if you're listening on podcasting services, then do leave a 5-star review, because it all helps everything that we do. If you want more content from us, then do check out Redmen Plus. And if you want to get onto Jurgen Klopp's pre- and post-match press conferences and whichever players they're putting up for the Champions League as well, you can get them for free on our YouTube channel and again through podcasting apps as well. Gents, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to our club legends. Good luck in this month's competition as well. And I will see you all very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.